Oh, hi, Mark.
Hi. It is Mark Grody on the score. Hope your Saturday is off to a brilliant start. I have not been outside yet of my place in Oak Park, but I just now looked out the window and saw somebody in full coat wear with hood up as she's walking her dog. So that doesn't portend well for what it must be like outside right now. Probably a little crispy would be my guess, but that's okay. It's the way it is in Chicago in April and parts of May and then June, about June 5th or 6th, I think we're in the clear for a few months until the whole thing falls apart again. But welcome into the program, normally occupied by Steve Rosenblum. You know, Rosenblum has been doing Saturday Suckage, Wake and Bake solo, what, for the better part of 2 or 3 years since I left the weekend show? So I guess it's only fitting that I am the fill-in for Rosenblum. But what is absolutely amazing about Steve not being here today, it's really a travesty that Steve is not here. It's kind of irresponsible that Rosenblum is not here today because today is, it's 420.
Smoke weed every day.
It's 420 today. So get to the dispensaries early. There will be lines. There will be specials. It will be delightful. Maybe that's where Steve is right now. He probably had to get to, I had to get to my dispensary at a specific time. So that could be, maybe we'll check in with Steve later, but the fact that he is not here for a shorty, no less, because I only get to be here until 12:45 today. That is the time at which there will be a Cubs split doubleheader. Cubs and the Marlins. It will be Javier Assad going in the first game, Shota Imanaga in the second game. So Cubs, Marlins all day and to the evening out at Wrigley Field today. And that's okay because guess what? The Marlins suck. So take advantage. The Cubs took advantage yesterday with an 8-3 win over the Marlins. And I would say that even a 5-run win was not even as indicative as the Cubs were dominant. And we'll talk Cubs, and we'll go to Wrigley Field a little bit later at noon. By the way, we are open for you. The Wake and Bake lines are open, 312-644-6767 is the number. I am also available via text. I will have the text screen up and running here momentarily at 312-644-6767. Have it a Twitter issue. You can always tweet me and follow me and hang out. But until I get a new password in and I'm cross-checked and I'm authenticated and I'm two-wayed and all this stuff on Twitter, I can't get back on Twitter. I didn't do anything wrong. It just one day started asking me for identity, and I'm always skeptical of that kind of stuff, so I just left it alone yesterday. So I don't even remember the last time I tweeted. Maybe somebody could tell me. I can't get onto my account right now. So forget about Twitter for right now. Don't worry about that. We could be live and we could be text again. 312-644-6767. We'll talk Cubs. We will talk some Bears. I don't know what there is to talk about the White Sox other than, oh, man, one of the things that was a bright spot for the White Sox has gone terribly wrong with Garrett Crochet getting rocked yesterday. I mean, really, there's your White Sox talk. There is a way to watch White Sox games, and it is to watch for development. It's to watch for guys like Garrett Crochet. It's to watch for guys making their debuts in Major League Baseball, whether as a starter or a position player. That's the way to watch the White Sox. And if you were doing it that way yesterday, it was wholly disappointing. But the big story, for me anyway, last night was the Chicago Bulls, who lose to the Miami Heat 112-91 in the play-in game, the play-in series. So the Bulls are eliminated. Miami gets to just like last year, when they beat the Bulls, they get to advance to the real playoffs. In this case, they will be playing Boston in a best-of-seven series. Who knows if Miami can pull it off again. I don't know what the prognosis is for Jimmy Butler, who didn't even play in that game. But here we go. What we realized last night was that Miami is not Atlanta. Miami, God. The discernible difference in watching the style of play just between Miami and Atlanta, holy cow. I mean, just going after loose balls, and every ball is in play, and every ball is contested. I mean, we always talk about heat culture, but to me, that's part of the essence of it. Like, you're not going to get a free possession. You're not going to have a player lollygagging at any point in time on the Heat. Whereas with Atlanta, you had a lot of that. You had a lot of guys trying to figure things out. And the Heat, just they don't play that game. But the story for the Bulls, I have a lot of things here for the Bulls, and just in terms of the game. Number one, the biggest deal for the Bulls, you watched it, or if you didn't watch it, you could look in the box score and see a little percentage that says the Bulls shot 38%. Not good. Bulls were 13 of 43 from three. They were chucking them, and they were not making them. Miami's game, much smoother in that regard. Miami was 14 of 33 from three in the game. Tyler Hero is a dangerous, dangerous man. 24 points, 10 rebounds, and 9 assists. And I heard them talking, I don't know if it was in the post-game show on NBC Sports Chicago maybe, that Tyler Hero could, you know, that could be a fit for the Bulls down the road. And Tyler Hero is one of those guys who, I would say, I don't know how good Tyler Hero is, but he's such a pain in the ass against the Bulls that I would definitely like him on my team just for that, just so we can go through what happened with the Bulls and why he's so good. But I will say, when Tyler Hero gets hot for Miami, it's a really good product out there. And as long as we're talking about Heat products that are not the usual, you know, Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler, some of their known players, how about Jaime Jaquez Jr.? That guy is a bad ass for the Heat. I mean, just athletic, energy, 21 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists on the night. So he was trouble for the Bulls last night. But there were about a handful of moments in this game last night that where this game just tilted in a big way. And maybe I don't need to go any further than my number one here, and that was that 19-0 run in the first quarter. I mean, it looked like it was going to – I mean, going into this game, honestly, I thought the Bulls would win this game. I really did, just because of the Jimmy Butler factor. I thought the Bulls were going to win the game. I just thought there was some. I didn't think the Miami was going to be motivated to do it again. The crowd sucked early in Miami. All of that. I just felt like this was the Bulls were going to win this thing, and then they'd win like two games against Miami, or excuse me, Boston in the first round, and that was going to be the story. That's what I projected for the Bulls. It was 11-6 Bulls in the first quarter, and then all of a sudden it was 25-11 Miami as the Heat went on a 19-0 run, making every single shot. Even Kevin Love bouncing one off the front of the rim, and then it goes in. So it was just unbelievable that that run, I mean, that may have just done the Bulls in. But I thought, symbolic of the night for the Bulls, second quarter, it's 42-31 Miami. So early, and, you know, the Bulls are a three-pointer away from really making you feel like they're absolutely in this game and there's no way Miami can sustain what they have going on. So second quarter, 42-31 Miami. The Bulls have a great possession. They had a lot of good possessions last night. And while I'm at it real quick, the Bulls played hard. Like, there was no, like, I don't have a whole lot of critiques for the Bulls in terms of how they carried themselves last night. They just didn't make shots. But they have this great possession in the second quarter, passing the ball around, eventually finding Ayo Dosunmu open for a three in the corner. He misses the shot. The problem was, on the other end, there he was. We all need a Tyler Hero. he hits a three, like just like that. The Bulls with this beautiful work, working it inside, popping it back out, zipping it around the top of the key, and then, yes, perfectly finding the open man in the corner to attempt the three. Good shot by Io, got it off, just missed it. But then Tyler Hero just dances to the other end, pops a three. It's 45-31 Miami. So I thought that that was sort of symbolic. As I said, the Bulls were good last night. It seemed like they had a good plan offensively. It seemed like they were doing what they do offensively well last night. They just weren't making their shots. And then there was some the daggers. I have a triple dagger in the third quarter. I'm just going to go through this really quickly. Now we're going to get to the bigger picture stuff because that's the way we do it here now that the season is over. It's kind of been this this living wake lately for the Bulls, and then this is neat. They still have a couple more games, but we've kind of all begun the process of discussing the future of the Bulls. Actually, we began that probably right around the trade deadline or so. And to that end, by the way, Mark Schanowski going to join me here in about 10 minutes to talk about the Chicago Bulls. But let me give you my daggers. Oh, I'm sorry. We have a change at 12:30 is when we will have Mark Schanowski. Okay. 11:40. Tyler, are you live right now, or are you just talking in my ears? I have no idea.
No. I'm sorry. I was talking. Yes, I'm live now. I was talking in your ear, but yeah, we have Mark Schanowski at 11:40 to talk about the Bulls' loss to the Heat and their future today.
Okay. Beautiful. So 11:40 is when Mark Schanowski will be on. So, yes. Here are my daggers. Here they are. Third quarter daggers. And all of these seem to start with Tyler Hero. Tyler Hero, if you didn't see it, had this brilliant, I'd say brilliant, behind-the-back pass to Caleb Martin for a three. And then that was followed by a Bam Adebayo three. That hurt. It was fun to watch, I guess. From a Miami perspective, 70-56 Heat. So there's that. And then a little bit later on, third quarter, Heat up 10. Miami had a possession where they had four chances. The Bulls, that was one time. I had said the Bulls played hard last night. They decided to take that off. I don't know if they had their five-minute break built in there, but that was something. They had a possession where they had four chances, did the Heat, and then Kevin Love goes to the free throw line and hits two, puts the Heat up 12. I hated that. I hated that possession for the Bulls' sake. And then just, I guess, another symbol of things weren't going to happen last night. Maybe the smartest player on the court in Caruso has an inbound stolen and the Miami Heat capitalized on the other end. Never saw it, though. Never saw it because was it ESPN game? Yeah, it was ESPN. They didn't have the camera on the inbound. I mean, they were projecting that the inbound would have gone flawlessly, probably like I would have. So, but Caruso had that. And then last thing on the game here, Andre Drummond had that steal. I actually felt bad. I was thinking of Dan Bernstein. Dan Bernstein, if you're listening, I know you loved Andre Drummond last night when he stole the ball, again, right around half court, and then he's like, he's all alone, heading towards the basket. He's like, oh no. And so he flings it back to, I don't remember who the would-be pass catcher was, but it was a horrible-looking pass. And again, God bless Andre Drummond, but because of Dan Bernstein, I now watch him in a completely different way because Dan taught me. Dan's great with X's and O's, but in this case, Dan taught me that Andre Drummond is just hilarious. He is. He's hilarious. And now I see it, and I mean it when I say this because I'd like to. I can't unsee it. So the Bulls lose to the Heat 112-91. The season is over for the Bulls. So let's listen now to some Billy Donovan cuts. I went through this, and here's the stuff that I found interesting, and I think that you will too. The Bulls head coach, Billy Donovan, on the future of the current roster.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to speak for Arturs. I'm just giving you I'm giving you my opinion. I'm giving you my opinion. And this is without any conversations with Arturs, but this is just how I feel. You know, I think in my conversations with Arturs, the feeling was, you know, can we generate and create, you know, some continuity, you know, with the group? I mean, I think that was kind of the overriding thing. That continuity just never happened, quite honestly. I don't believe it happened, you know, and the reason it didn't happen because we've got basically two starters out. So it really, and again, I think, and I've said this from day one when all this stuff happened, I think there was enough in that locker room to compete, you know, and whatever it was after the start, we got five or six games above 500. Certainly we want to be better than that. I'm not like championing that, but what could have been a very, very difficult, challenging, disastrous season, those guys turned into an opportunity to get to the playoffs one game away, and we didn't earn that. So I think the plan, at least in my conversations, as you're talking to Arturs, was let's see what this group, let's get, you know, this group together. With the understanding that Lonzo was probably, we knew he wasn't coming back, so it wasn't like, you know, we got this news this summer that we knew that. So I don't know where he is, you know, with that. I don't want to speak for him, but I do know that at least a plan, my conversations with them was, hey, let's keep the group together, continue, let's see what this looks like. Let's see if we can make a step of growth, you know, got to get more connected as a team, all that stuff. And with the way the season kind of unfolded with several different injuries, it's really, really hard to sit there and say that there, because there was no continuity this year. There just wasn't, you know. Really, from start to finish, we dealt with maybe a lack of continuity. But I think that was the initial goal, was to try to create some consistency.
I mean, Billy Donovan is right that there wasn't continuity. But even when there was and has been continuity, there hasn't always been chemistry. And I think that that's been the bigger issue. One of the things I think that complicates my thinking for the future of the Chicago Bulls is the development of Kobe White this year. You know, it makes you think about guys like Patrick Williams and, oh, maybe we do have to be patient. Maybe these things do take time. Maybe they do all sprout at different times. So when I say complicates, I guess that's the proverbial complicating in a good way, because that could be one of those reasons where you say, okay, continuity, but I just think that there's a bigger chemistry issue, and I don't know. And look, I'm not saying Donovan is making excuses here, because yes, there have been some atrocious injuries, but even he said that they went into this season assuming that Lonzo Ball would not be playing. I mean, I just don't feel like he's ever going to walk through that door again, but that's another entire conversation. But yeah, I don't know. I just don't think it's a continuity issue. I think it's a chemistry issue. Let's hear from Billy Donovan, another cut from Billy Donovan here, on open and honest questions with the front office.
And I want to be clear on this. Like, when the season starts, right, when the season starts, I am totally trying to invest everything I have into the team and into the group, you know, as best I can. And when the season ends, that's when there's more of those conversations. So I don't want to sit there and make it seem like we don't talk. It's just more of a situation where when the season's going, we're just not having those conversations. The team is what it is, you know, and then we're going to go move forward. But, you know, it'd be nice if he came back, you know. But those conversations, and I'm very honest. I'm very honest. We have open discussions, and we talk when I'm asked the question. But like when the season's going on, there's no reason to, in my opinion. I'm just focused on the guys and what we got to do, and the games are coming so quickly, so it doesn't really make much of a difference. You know, in terms of all that stuff, you know, nothing's going to change where we're at. Oh yeah, there's definitely going to be conversations. You know, we'll sit down and talk, and they'll pick my brain, and I'll talk to them about stuff that always happens. You know, and they've been really, really good, and I appreciate them, you know, at least bending my ear on opinions and thoughts and ideas and things like that.
Yeah, well, we will see. I mean, you're not going to get Billy Donovan to break bad on his bosses in any way. I mean, he's not going to do it blatantly, and he's not going to do it subtly either. They're going to sit down and have real conversations about the team. And there are a lot of real conversations that are going to need to be had about, is this really about getting that continuity back together? Is that, do you really think that if there's continuity, there's going to be chemistry, and then there's going to be winning games in real playoff series? I don't think that with the way the Bulls are built right now, that is possible. I mean, even if you have health, and I'm not telling, let's leave Lonzo Ball out of it. If you had complete health this year, and yeah, I haven't even mentioned Zach LaVine's name, you know, that whole part of it, how much better actually are the Bulls? I don't think that they have proven, even when that whole group is healthy, that they, other than one half, right, in 2022, where they were just scorching, like, and that was with Ball, right? Yeah. Man, sometimes I forget that Lonzo Ball even ever played for the Bulls. That it, even when they were out there, we know that there have been chemistry issues, specifically with your perceived two best players, DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine. And I've never gotten the feeling that it's personal between those two in any way, shape, or form. In fact, it feels like they genuinely appreciate each other, subsequently probably do like each other. They just are not dynamic together on the floor. Chemistry, not continuity with what's going on with this Bulls team. When we return, let's continue to talk Bulls. And you know what? Like I said, the phones are open. I'm going to get to some of your calls, too, if you want to talk about this Bulls season. And specifically, Bulls fans, what's the one thing? This is difficult. I know you've got a list. What's the one thing you took out of this Bulls season? What do you take out of the Bulls' 39-43 record, one win in the play-in tournament, and then a loss to the Heat? 312-644-6767 is the number. I will give you my answer. We'll also hear from DeMar DeRozan in the next segment, and then Mark Shanowski in this hour as well. We're talking Bulls. I'm Mark Grody, in for Steve Rosenblum on 420. What? Okay, I'm being told that, he is in line at a dispensary since 5 a.m. this morning. Got it. I'm Mark Grody. This is The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Rolling to his right. Hero comes up shooting on Vooch and buries a tough three-point shot. Tyler Hero with his fourth triple. He's got 24, and the Heat lead 89-65.
And the Heat win. They beat the Bulls 112-91. Chuck Swirsky with the call right here on The Score. Tyler Hero, 24 points, 10 rebounds, and 9 assists. While the Bulls simply did not shoot well last night, 38%, for example. Just for example, Ayo Dosunmu had 10 points, 3 of 15 from the field. DeRozan shot fine, just 22. That's like a quiet 22 for him. Kobe White, 13 points, 5 of 16 from the field. You ain't playing Atlanta. Remember, Kobe White had 42 against the Hawks and essentially got skunked last. And I only got his shots off, just did not land them. Nikola Vucevic, 16 points, 14 rebounds, and 5 assists. He was 7 of 17 on the night as the Bulls go down and their season is over. 312-644-6767. If you want to weigh in on what's the one thing that you think about for this bowl season. And I know that in the mounds of mediocrity that has been the Bulls, just disappointing when you're on the cusp of being a 500 team and you're on the underside of it, obviously. It's just so frustrating to watch teams like that because they don't embarrass themselves necessarily. They just can't get to any sort of advanced level when you're dangling around like that. But what I will take away from the season with everything, and there has been a lot of drama on and off the court, the injuries, disappointment, which we have talked about, but I just don't know how you could take anything else away from this season. If you wanted for one thing, it's got to be Coby White, right? Because speaking for myself, felt like a guy who once his contract was up, I thought, time to move on. And people like Stacey King telling everybody, you got to be patient with these guys sometimes. There were some people who I was Team Coby to start, then I got off the bandwagon, and I guess I'm back on. But Coby White's growth has been terrific to watch this year, and he says that he's proud of it too.
I feel like I'm just proud of my growth overall, just getting better. As the season went on, I think one thing I need to work on, probably this offseason focus on, is probably just my conditioning. I don't think anything I could have done this past offseason would have prepared me for the amount of minutes and load that I had this year. So for me, now moving forward, I just need to work on my conditioning and make sure I'm prepared for anything coming into the season.
All right. Yeah, hey, that's what you do. You take it to the next level. Add something to your game every year. Sustain what you have been doing and then take it to the next level. And if Coby White thinks that that is for fitness, then that sounds perfectly good to me for Coby White. So I definitely look at that as one of the bigger parts of this season. Something that is coming up now that the Bulls have to begin to consider is free agents, with the biggest names being Patrick Williams, restricted free agent, but DeMar DeRozan will be a free agent soon. And in the past, DeMar DeRozan has said that he wants to be here, that feels like the proper landing spot. And I think he's saying some similar things last night after the loss, in which he scored 22 points. Similar things, but this is after a loss. And let's try to detect from DeMar DeRozan if he earnestly does want to be back and if the Bulls will follow through with everything here that DeMar DeRozan is saying. Here he is still wanting to be in Chicago.
DeMar, just to follow up on that, and I know this is raw and this is a difficult time because of the season-ending loss, but you've been very consistent in calmer moments about your desire to be back.
Yeah, for sure.
Is that still where you are?
Yeah, that's still where I'm at, But, at the end of the day, I hate losing, hate missing opportunities. I think, it really hits you after the season, when you look up and last seconds run off and you don't have another game, and next time I play a game will be my 16th season. You realize the window closed for you personally. I ain't trying to play 25 years or nothing like that, but you just want to have the opportunity to give everything great in you an opportunity. Like I said, my mind, my stance on, when I be here, still the same, but, just want to win. More than anything, just have the opportunity to win and not, got to go home and see the first round of the playoffs, second round of the playoffs. It's frustrating.
Yep, that's not what you're in it for. if you are a veteran. I think it's good to hear from DeMar DeRozan because that tells me like what he still wants at this point, and that is to win. I mean, not every single – some players just want to be in a comfortable spot, whether it's geographically or the team that they desire or the highest price. DeMar DeRozan sounds like – I mean, you don't – this guy's not going to let himself get cheated in any way, shape, or form. But I think number one for him at this point is hearing that he wants to win. I want to hear a little bit more from DeMar DeRozan about – building on a winning team, and he wants to see the Bulls field a more competitive team.
What would you like to see from this franchise this offseason as you're making your decision?
Competitive team, you know, team that give us a chance to be able to make a, you know, a run. You know, since I've been here, you know, we dealt with a lot. You know, my first year was, you know, that was the team that, you know, we planned on being with. But, you know, to lose, you know, a star point guard and so Zach getting hurt later that year, my first year, you know, we had all the pieces in play. You know, like I said, it was just, you know, I don't know if a black cat ran in front of us or we broke a mirror or whatever. But I think just giving us the chance to be competitive and putting a team on the floor that we can go out there and compete with, you know, teams and not just fight for a playing game.
So you hear that? That goes to Arturas Karnišovas and Mark Eversley. I have to tell you, too, like, I'm disappointed in Arturas Karnišovas. Thought he had a strong start. I believed in him right off the bat. I liked his credentials. I liked where he came from. I liked the way he talked. All of that kind of stuff. But to be stagnant as a franchise, Chicago, it just hasn't been good work the last couple of years by Arturas Karnišovas. Not saying, like, fire him or replace him. Not saying that yet. But I am saying it's his move now. You know, it's his move. It's time to get away from this, as we heard earlier from Billy Donovan, the motto of continuity and try to find chemistry and, you know, the right players together. You know, the Vucevic thing was a splash when it happened, and that was part of the momentum he had growing. And the Lonzo Ball signing was good, too. That was good, too. And I think that there has been some leeway that he was allowed early on in this process. The surprise part, you know, Zach LaVine and all that, but they gave him the money. So it's been a rough couple years for the front office. So I would like to see them start to mend that and make this team better and make this team different. Let's talk more about the Bulls. When we return, we will bring in from the Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast. He's been everywhere. He is everywhere. He is Mark Schanowski, and he'll be talking Bulls with me, Mark Grody, next on The Score.
With 16 seconds to go, Highsmith over the timeline is just going to dribble it out. The Miami Heat advance and will take on the Boston Celtics on Sunday in the opening game of a best-of-seven, with the 8-seed Heat taking on the number one seed, the 62-win Boston Celtics. Ball game over. Miami 112, Bulls 91. Season is over for the Chicago Bulls. The second straight season in a play-in game, Miami has eliminated the Chicago Bulls.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Chuck Swirsky with the call right here on The Score. Final call, and I mean that, for 2024 for the Bulls as they lose to the Heat 112-91. Subsequently, the Bulls are out. The Heat move on to play Boston, as Chuck was discussing. What a great year again for Chuck Swirsky, Bill Wennington, and Alyssa Bergamini. They are great. They are at the same level every single night. I heard Chuck talking about that the other day. I think it was with Gabe Ramirez discussing that, how he's the same guy for a preseason game as he is for a postseason game, as last night was. It's not the playoffs, but it is post of the season, right? So Chuck does have the same energy always. So great job by those guys every single year. Can't wait to hear them back next year in the preseason. Hopefully the Bulls will look a little bit different after they were eliminated last night. And we're going to keep this Bulls talk hot here in just a second. But first, I must tell you, because it really, it's a lot of my life, draft coverage on the Score is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Coming up at the top of the hour, for those of you driving to Wrigley Field for a doubleheader day against the Marlins, we're going to be talking Cubs right at the top of the hour at noon with Andy Martinez of Marquee. We'll set you up for the doubleheader day, what has happened with the Cubs, what will happen with the Cubs, all sorts of juicy topics to get into at noon. But right now, I want to bring in my buddy Mark Shanowski of ABC7, the Windy City Bulls, the Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast, about which I am occasionally a part of. What's going on, Mark? How are you, buddy?
I'm doing fine. Just getting ready to hear what AK is going to say this afternoon, and I have a feeling it'll be some very familiar themes.
Oh, man. Do you think it will be the same old stuff from him as in... Well, I should just ask you, what do you mean by that?
Well, I think what we're going to hear is I'm very proud of the way that this team bounced back after the 5-14 start. We lost two starters to injuries for the bulk of the season, and you know we showed well in the play-in game against the Atlanta Hawks, the potential of what we can do when everything is clicking, and we're excited about getting Zach LaVine and Lonzo Ball back next season. He may not invoke the Lonzo Ball.
Okay,
word, I'm hearing talk that privately in the organization they have him penciled in as a member of your 2024-25 Chicago Bulls.
Wow, I mean, even if that's in the background, and even if it's in pencil, that's amazing. Do you think that was supposed to be, Mark? Do you think that this if they are penciling him in, do you think that they're doing it surprisingly with their pencil?
Well, I think that obviously he hasn't played basketball for 2.5 years. And I think that in all their planning, obviously the job of the general manager, executive vice president of basketball operations is to look ahead 3 to 5 years. And you're trying to figure out what this team was going to look like going forward. Lonzo Ball will be entering the last year of his contract in the upcoming season. And I don't think that they really realistically thought there was a good chance of him coming back to play basketball at any meaningful level. But with that latest surgery, he's reporting no pain in all his workouts, and now the next test will be coming up in the summer. They're going to let him, he's going to play 5-on-5 with full contact basketball, and if his knee responds to that, they'll bring him to training camp and see if he can fit. But right now they're so overloaded in the backcourt. We mentioned Zach LaVine coming back from his foot surgery, and Ayo Dosunmu and Kobe White emerging as potentially, your starting backcourt for the future. They've got a logjam there, and that's something that you would think that they would address this summer. But given Billy Donovan's penchant for playing multiple guard lineups, you never know. I mean, they're in a bad situation with the salary cap and luxury tax. Everybody knows that. And unless they're willing to go into the tax, the team will not look much different than the one that just finished the season last night.
All right. Well, that said... Then, do you believe what, as you were projecting and probably projecting correctly on what Arturis Karnišovas might say in a presser this afternoon, do you think, and Billy Donovan was saying it last night too, he was talking about continuity and that there is no continuity because of all, do you really believe that if the Bulls did not have the extent of injuries and misfortune, and leave Lonzo Ball out of it, because they even said that they went into this season knowing that Lonzo Ball was not going to see the court, how much of it is injuries and misfortune, and how much is it, even if they were completely healthy, they might be in the exact same spot, because that's sort of where I angle.
I kind of smile when you're giving your kudos to the outstanding radio broadcast team. You mentioned the word how consistent they are in continuity, and I'm thinking, wow, AK, somewhere AK is smiling at that, he's advocating continuity for this season. At least he got it in his radio broadcast.
Hell yes, they did. Yes, they did.
No, Chuck and Bill and Alyssa are fantastic, and I second those comments about them. But getting to your question, I'm not sure it would have been much different. They got off to a terrible start with Zach LaVine shooting career lows from the field and a three-point line and really not playing well. We don't know how injured he was, if that played into the fact that he got off to such a rocky start. They were 5-14, all the Zach LaVine trade rumors, and then all of a sudden Zach went out and things turned around. Of course, about a month or so later, they lose Patrick Williams to a season-ending injury, and I think that was really damaging because he was starting to become more of a focal point in the offense with Zach on the sidelines, and he was showing some flashes of being able to create off the dribble a little bit. And let's face it, he's one of the few guys they have that's over 6'5". So, you know, he had legitimate forward size, and I think there were so many games where they gave up too many offensive rebounds because they had four guards playing with either Vooch or Drummond, and they just couldn't match up defensively under the backboards. I think they have to add some size to this team in the offseason. That's going to be a tricky proposition. They have right now what would be the 11th pick in the first round of the draft, but people are saying this could be the worst draft in NBA history. So I don't know if you can really count on getting a lot of help there.
Victor Wembanyama's not walking through those draft doors this year.
No, he's certainly not there at number 11 either.
That's a great point. DeMar DeRozan, I don't know if you heard his comments last night. Okay, you did hear. I mean, essentially he was saying probably what any player in his shoes would say. Yeah, I'd like it here, but definitely want to see a competitive team. What do you think happens with DeMar DeRozan? You know, maybe based on some of what he said, and is it a slam dunk that the Bulls would want DeRozan back?
I think the Bulls want DeRozan back, but I think ultimately it'll come down to money. The Bulls overpaid to get DeMar in free agency 3 years ago, and he's lived up to that contract, no question about it. He's been outstanding. He may win the Clutch Player of the Year award in the NBA for what he does down the stretch of close games. But as he mentioned in his press conference, next season will be his 16th in the NBA, and he's not planning to play 25. So, you know, he feels like if he wants to win, and he's hoping that the Bulls will make the moves that will give them a chance in the Eastern Conference. But as I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, any moves they make to really try to move upwards in the conference are going to involve going into the luxury tax. Heck, even if they re-sign DeMar and Patrick Williams, who's a restricted free agent, that's going to put them into the tax. So, you know, Jerry Reinsdorf has been on the record as saying that he'll pay the tax for a team that can contend. What contend means is sometimes a little bit ambiguous, but I just can't see them extending themselves to the point where they give DeMar, let's say, you know, a three-year, $100 million contract. I mean, that would really cripple them in terms of their ability to make moves in the future. You know, DeMar is still playing at an incredibly high level. He's a guy you'd want on your team, but I think at this point in his career, he may consider either going back to Los Angeles and playing on a minimum kind of contract with a chance to be at home and win a championship, or maybe cherry pick a contender, whether it's a Denver or a Boston or some team that would take him on in a lesser role, maybe as a sixth man with a chance to win a championship ring. I think that if you had to, you know, set the odds, I'd say it's probably 60% likely he comes back to the Bulls. But, you know, if they're unable to make any moves to improve the roster, maybe he finally decides to jump somewhere else and chase that elusive championship ring.
Yeah, and I think that the Bulls would probably respect it, and, you know, they've obviously had a great relationship with him, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the young guys love him. I mean, he's been fantastic with Dalen Terry, who he calls his son. You know, Dalen follows him everywhere he goes. He's helped Kobe White so much in his approach to the game. He's worked with Patrick Williams in the summers. He's been fantastic. He's been everything you'd want for in a veteran character guy. And on top of that, he's averaged well over 20 points every season, and he's been an outstanding player in the clutch. So, you know, if they could get him at a price that everyone could live with on like a two-year deal, I think that the Bulls would be wise to consider bringing him back. But I just don't know that he's going to take a team-friendly, you know, discounted kind of contract to come back to a Bulls team that's kind of stuck in the middle in the East.
Yep, I'd love to see him back, but couldn't blame him if he decided to move on. Talking to Mark Schanowski of ABC7, the Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast, also of the Windy City Bulls. You mentioned Patrick Williams, and yes, he's a restricted free agent, so the Bulls can match whatever offers he might get. Might there be a team out there that still sees that, you know, the improvement that you saw, that NBA body, the you know, even going back to college, that might look at Patrick Williams and make this guy some sort of offer maybe that we don't expect?
There's always that chance, and as they, you know, the famous phrase, it only takes one. There's a team down the road in Detroit that has a lot of cap space and a god-awful team. They finished with the worst record in the league again, and actually I think San Antonio might have been worse, but it was close. You know, so Detroit is a team that has some cap space. They're not going to be able to attract A-list free agents. they could decide that, you know, maybe we'll extend an offer to bring in another piece that we can, you know, start to build a competitive team around. There are not a ton of teams in the NBA that have cap space this year. Philadelphia does, but I think they're looking at going after Paul George if he leaves the Clippers this summer. There's a couple of others, but I don't think that Patrick, you know, he had talked in preseason and early in the year when he didn't come to terms on an extension to his rookie deal that, you know, he was looking for a big contract. Some people speculated that he's looking for $20 million a year, but I think after the injury that cost him half a season, I think that's out the window. But still, he's going to get in excess of $10 million a year. And again, the Bulls have to figure out what they want to do with this roster. If you just bring back those guys and go into the tax, you're really in a bad situation in terms of the flexibility that you have. And of course, that would logically take us into Zach LaVine. Mm-hmm. And you know, they actively tried to shop him around the league to see if there was a taker, and maybe would have been able to move him if he hadn't been injured. Now they go into the summer where his trade value would be next to nothing with a huge contract and coming off another injury. They're almost going to have to bring him back and let him play a number of games to show the rest of the league that he's healthy again. And even then, that contract's going to be tough to move. So, you know, people, AK kind of created his own mess, but he's going to have a tough time trying to work his way out of it.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, he is. As I said, he's kept things stagnant the last 2 years, and now it's his move, and he does not have a lot of chips to play. So it's certainly a tough spot. Mark, what's been going down on the Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast lately? Any highlights, anything cooking, or you guys just been busy with the Bulls?
Yeah, pretty much. We had Javonte Green a couple of weeks ago. He was great talking about his comeback. I mean, when he went out last season, people didn't realize how serious that knee injury was. And originally they said, you know, he had a sprained knee, he had a bruise and this and that. And he ended up having to have a, you know, kind of a complicated surgery. It took him a long way to get back. And he was playing with the Santa Cruz Warriors of the G League, trying to see if any NBA team would show any interest. And he played exceptionally well after coming back. He's a guy that I'm sure they'd like to bring back next season.
Sure.
But, you know, there's some duplication there when you look at him and Dalen Terry and Alex Caruso, guys who are hustle guys, but not necessarily great shooters or great scorers. And that's the kind of balance they're going to have to work on in trying to put together a competitive roster next season. We also had a buddy of yours. We had Big Cat Williams on in the most recent show talking
nice.
About his time with the Bears and looking ahead to the upcoming draft. And it was great hearing him tell some stories. We were reminiscing about the Bears locker room during that era. And you know, Cat was always good with the media, but I said there were times he'd walk in and Olin Cruz was at his locker, and you approached with much trepidation whether or not you wanted to ask Olin if he wanted to talk about the state of the Bears.
Hey, we still approach with trepidation, trust
me,
man.
Yeah, ask some of his coworkers, right?
Yeah, exactly. Mark, you're the best, man. You know I love to give you the Hot Sauce podcast, and I'm sure I'll be talking Bears with you guys soon.
Yeah, we look forward to that, Mark. Thanks for having me on. And, you know, for Bulls fans out there, I don't want to paint the picture that it's impossible to get things done. AK made some really bold moves, you know, 3 summers ago when he brought
right.
in this cast.
He did.
And there's no such thing as an untradeable contract in the NBA anymore. We've seen so many examples of that. Who knows? Maybe he can come up with a plan to change this around and give the fans some hope heading into next season. I think that, you know, with some of the comments we heard from the players and even Billy Donovan hinting at, you know, the continuity thing didn't work, maybe we will see some changes this summer. So let's hope that we see a different cast when training camp rolls around in September.
Amen. Mark, thank you so much.
All right, Mark, appreciate it.
Yep, I do too. That's Mark Schanowski. Texter says, damn it, Grody, the Bulls are harshing my buzz this 420. Had to get extra lit in lieu of no Stevie Sunshine on this highest of holidays. Oh, the irony of Steve Rosenblum not being here is getting intenser throughout the show, I must say. But that said, I'm done with the Bulls for today. As a matter of fact, next, let's go out to Wrigley Field, where the vibes are good. Cubs and Marlins with a doubleheader. Andy Martinez of the Marquee Sports Network is standing by. We'll get a scene setter, and we'll talk Cubs next. And I apologize, Tyler Farengold, for being so late. This is not your fault on the score.
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Allo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
With 16 seconds to go, Highsmith over the timeline is just going to dribble it out. The Miami Heat advance and will take on the Boston Celtics on Sunday in the opening game of a best of seven, with the 8-seed Heat taking on the number one seed, the 62-win Boston Celtics. Ball game over. Miami 112, Bulls 91. Season is over for the Chicago Bulls. The second straight season in a play-in game, Miami has eliminated the Chicago Bulls.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Chuck Swirsky with the call right here on The Score. Final call, and I mean that, for 2024 for the Bulls as they lose to the Heat 112-91. Subsequently, the Bulls are out. The Heat move on to play Boston, as Chuck was discussing. What a great year again for Chuck Swirsky, Bill Wennington, and Alyssa Bergamini. They are great. They are at the same level every single night. I heard Chuck talking about that the other day. I think it was with Gabe Ramirez discussing that, how he's the same guy for a preseason game as he is for a postseason game, as last night was. It's not the playoffs, but it is post of the season, right? So Chuck does have the same energy always. So great job by those guys every single year. Can't wait to hear them back next year in the preseason. Hopefully the Bulls will look a little bit different after they were eliminated last night. And we're going to keep this Bulls talk hot here in just a second. But first, I must tell you, because it really, it's a lot of my life. Draft coverage on The Score is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Coming up at the top of the hour, for those of you driving to Wrigley Field for a doubleheader day against the Marlins, we're going to be talking Cubs right at the top of the hour at noon with Andy Martinez of Marquee. We'll set you up for the doubleheader day, what has happened with the Cubs, what will happen with the Cubs, all sorts of juicy topics to get into at noon. But right now, I want to bring in my buddy Mark Shanowski of ABC7, the Windy City Bulls, the Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast, about which I am occasionally a part of. What's going on, Mark? How are you, buddy?
I'm doing fine. Just getting ready to hear what AK is going to say this afternoon, and I have a feeling it'll be some very familiar themes.
Oh, man. Do you think it will be the same old stuff from him as in, well, I should just ask you, what do you mean by that?
Well, I think what we're going to hear is, I'm very proud of the way that this team bounced back after the 5-14 start. We lost two starters to injuries for the bulk of the season, and you know, we showed well in the play-in game against the Atlanta Hawks, the potential of what we can do when everything is clicking, and we're excited about getting Zach LaVine and Lonzo Ball back next season. He may not invoke the Lonzo Ball.
Okay,
I'm hearing talk that, you know, privately in the organization, they have him penciled in as a member of your 2024-25 Chicago Bulls.
Wow. I mean, even if that's in the background, and even if it's in pencil, that's amazing. Do you think that was supposed to be, Mark? Do you think that this if they are penciling him in, do you think that they're doing it surprisingly with their pencil?
Well, I think that obviously he hasn't played basketball for 2.5 years. And I think that in all their planning, obviously the job of the general manager, executive vice president of basketball operations, is to look ahead 3 to 5 years. And you're trying to figure out what this team is going to look like going forward. Lonzo Ball will be entering the last year of his contract in the upcoming season. And I don't think that they really realistically thought there was a good chance of him coming back to play basketball at any meaningful level. But with that latest surgery, he's reporting no pain in all his workouts, and now the next test will be coming up in the summer. They're going to let him, he's going to play 5-on-5 with full contact basketball, and if his knee responds to that, they'll bring him to training camp and see if he can fit. But, right now they're so overloaded in the backcourt. We mentioned Zach LaVine coming back from his foot surgery, and Ayo Dosunmu and Kobe White emerging as potentially, your starting backcourt for the future. They've got a logjam there, and that's something that you would think that they would address this summer. But given Billy Donovan's penchant for playing multiple guard lineups, you never know. I mean, they're in a bad situation with the salary cap and luxury tax. Everybody knows that. And unless they're willing to go into the tax, the team will not look much different than the one that just finished the season last night.
All right. Well, that said, then, do you believe what, as you were projecting and probably projecting correctly on what Arturis Karnišovas might say in a presser this afternoon, do you think, and Billy Donovan was saying it last night too, he was talking about continuity and that there is no continuity because of all, do you really believe that if the Bulls did not have the extent of injuries and misfortune, and leave Lonzo Ball out of it, because they even said that they went into this season knowing that Lonzo Ball was not going to see the court, how much of it is injuries and misfortune, and how much is even if they were completely healthy, they might be in the exact same spot? Because that's sort of where I angle.
I kind of smile when you're giving your kudos to the outstanding radio broadcast team. You mentioned the word how consistent they are in continuity, and I'm thinking, wow, AK, somewhere AK is smiling at that, he's advocating continuity for this season. At least he got it in his radio broadcast.
Hell yes, they did. Yes, they did.
No, Chuck and Bill and Alyssa are fantastic, and I second those comments about them. But getting to your question, I'm not sure it would have been much different. They got off to a terrible start with Zach LaVine shooting career lows from the field and a three-point line and really not playing well. We don't know how injured he was, if that played into the fact that he got off to such a rocky start. They were 5-14, all the Zach LaVine trade rumors, and then all of a sudden Zach went out and things turned around. Of course, about a month or so later, they lose Patrick Williams to a season-ending injury, and I think that was really damaging because he was starting to become more of a focal point in the offense with Zach.
True.
On the sidelines, and he was showing some flashes of being able to create off the dribble a little bit. And let's face it, he's one of the few guys they have that's over 6'5". So, he had legitimate forward size, and I think there were so many games where they gave up too many offensive rebounds because they had four guards playing with either Vooch or Drummond, and they just couldn't match up defensively under the backboards. Mm-hmm. I think they have to add some size to this team in the offseason. That's going to be a tricky proposition. They have right now what would be the 11th pick in the first round of the draft, but people are saying this could be the worst draft in NBA history. So I don't know if you can really count on getting a lot of help there.
Victor Wembanyama's not walking through those draft doors this year. Yeah,
No, he's certainly not there at number 11 either.
that's a great point. DeMar DeRozan, I don't know if you heard his comments last night. Okay, you did hear. I mean, essentially he was saying probably what any player in his shoes would say. Yeah, I'd like it here, but definitely want to see a competitive team. What do you think happens with DeMar DeRozan? Maybe based on some of what he said, and is it a slam dunk that the Bulls would want DeRozan back?
I think the Bulls want DeRozan back, but I think ultimately it'll come down to money. The Bulls overpaid to get DeMar in free agency 3 years ago, and he's lived up to that contract, no question about it. He's been outstanding. He may win the Clutch Player of the Year award in the NBA for what he does down the stretch of close games. But as he mentioned in his press conference, next season will be his 16th in the NBA, and he's not planning to play 25. So, he feels like if he wants to win, and he's hoping that the Bulls will make the moves that will give them a chance in the Eastern Conference. But as I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, any moves they make to really try to move upwards in the conference are going to involve going into the luxury tax. Heck, even if they re-sign DeMar and Patrick Williams, who's a restricted free agent, that's going to put them into the tax. So, you know, Jerry Reinsdorf has been on the record as saying that he'll pay the tax for a team that can contend. What contend means is sometimes a little bit ambiguous, but I just can't see them extending themselves to the point where they give DeMar, let's say, you know, a three-year, $100 million contract. I mean, that would really cripple them in terms of their ability to make moves in the future. You know, DeMar is still playing at an incredibly high level. He's a guy you'd want on your team, but I think at this point in his career, he may consider either going back to Los Angeles and playing on a you know, a minimum kind of contract with a chance to be at home and win a championship, or maybe cherry pick a contender, whether it's a, you know, a Denver or a Boston or some team that would take him on in a lesser role, maybe as a sixth man with a chance to win a championship ring. I think that if you had to, you know, set the odds, I'd say it's probably 60% likely he comes back to the Bulls, but you know, if they're unable to make any moves to improve the roster, maybe he finally decides to jump somewhere else and chase that elusive championship ring.
Yeah, and I think that the Bulls would probably respect it, and you know, they've obviously had a great relationship with him, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the young guys love him. I mean, he's been fantastic with Dalen Terry, who he calls his son. You know, Dalen follows him everywhere he goes. He's helped Kobe White so much in his approach to the game. He's worked with Patrick Williams in the summers. Yeah, he's been fantastic. He's been everything you'd want for in a veteran character guy. And on top of that, he's averaged well over 20 points every season, and he's been an outstanding player in the clutch. So, you know, if they could get him at a price that everyone could live with on like a two-year deal, I think that the Bulls would be wise to consider bringing him back. But I just don't know that he's going to take a team-friendly, you know, discounted kind of contract to come back to a Bulls team that's kind of stuck in the middle in the East.
Yep, I'd love to see him back, but couldn't blame him if he decided to move on. Talking to Mark Schanowski of ABC7, the Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast, also of the Windy City Bulls. You mentioned Patrick Williams, and yes, he's a restricted free agent, so the Bulls can match whatever offers he might get. Might there be a team out there that still sees that, you know, the improvement that you saw, that NBA body, the you know, even going back to college, that might look at Patrick Williams and make this guy some sort of offer maybe that we don't expect?
There's always that chance, and as they, you know, the famous phrase, it only takes one. There's a team down the road in Detroit that has a lot of cap space, and then a god-awful team. They finished with the worst record in the league again, and actually I think San Antonio might have been worse, but it was close. You know, so Detroit is a team that has some cap space. They're not going to be able to attract A-list free agents. They could decide that, you know, maybe we'll extend an offer to bring in another piece that we can, you know, start to build a competitive team around. There are not a ton of teams in the NBA that have cap space this year. Philadelphia does, but I think they're looking at going after Paul George if he leaves the Clippers this summer. There's a couple of others, but I don't think that Patrick, you know, he had talked in preseason and early in the year when he didn't come to terms on an extension to his rookie deal that, you know, he was looking for a big contract. Some people speculated that he's looking for $20 million a year, but I think after the injury that cost him half a season, I think that's out the window. But still, he's going to get in excess of $10 million a year. And again, the Bulls have to figure out what they want to do with this roster. If you just bring back those guys and go into the tax, you're really in a bad situation in terms of the flexibility that you have. And of course, that would logically take us into Zach LaVine. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, they actively tried to shop him around the league to see if there was a taker and maybe would have been able to move him if he hadn't been injured. Now they go into the summer where his trade value would be next to nothing with a huge contract and coming off another injury. They're almost going to have to bring him back and let him play a number of games to show the rest of the league that he's healthy again. And even then, that contract's going to be tough to move. So, you know, people, AK kind of created his own mess, but he's going to have a tough time trying to work his way out of it.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, he is. As I said, he's kept things stagnant the last 2 years, and now it's his move, and he does not have a lot of chips to play. So it's certainly a tough spot. Mark, what's been going down on the Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast lately? Any highlights, anything cooking, or you guys just been busy with the Bulls?
Yeah, pretty much. We had Javonte Green a couple of weeks ago. He was great talking about his comeback. I mean, when he went out last season, people didn't realize how serious that knee injury was. And originally they said, you know, he had a sprained knee, he had a bruise and this and that. And he ended up having to have a, you know, kind of a complicated surgery. It took him a long way to get back. And he was playing with the Santa Cruz Warriors of the G League, trying to see if any NBA team would show any interest. And he played exceptionally well after coming back. He's a guy that I'm sure they'd like to bring back next season.
Sure.
But, you know, there's some duplication there when you look at him and Dalen Terry and Alex Caruso, guys who are hustle guys, but not necessarily great shooters or great scorers. And that's the kind of balance they're going to have to work on in trying to put together a competitive roster next season. We also had a buddy of yours. We had Big Cat Williams on in the most recent show talking
nice.
About his time with the Bears and looking ahead to the upcoming draft. And it was great hearing him tell some stories. We were reminiscing about the Bears locker room during that era. And you know, Cat was always good with the media, but I said there were times he'd walk in and Olin Cruz was at his locker, and you approached with much trepidation whether or not you wanted to ask Olin if he wanted to talk about the state of the Bears.
Hey, we still approach with trepidation, trust me,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, ask some of his coworkers, right?
Yeah, exactly. Mark, you're the best, man. You know I love to give you the Hot Sauce podcast, and I'm sure I'll be talking Bears with you guys soon.
Yeah, we look forward to that, Mark. Thanks for having me on. And, you know, for Bulls fans out there, I don't want to paint the picture that it's impossible to get things done. AK made some really bold moves, you know, 3 summers ago when he brought
right.
in this cast.
He did.
And there's no such thing as an untradeable contract in the NBA anymore. We've seen so many examples of that. Who knows? Maybe he can come up with a plan to change this around and give the fans some hope heading into next season. I think that, you know, with some of the comments we heard from the players and even Billy Donovan hinting at, you know, the continuity thing didn't work, maybe we will see some changes this summer. So let's hope that we see a different cast when training camp rolls around in September.
Amen. Mark, thank you so much.
All right, Mark, appreciate it.
Yep, I do too. That's Mark Shanowski. Texter says, damn it, Grody, the Bulls are harshing my buzz this 420. Had to get extra lit in lieu of no Stevie Sunshine on this highest of holidays. Oh, the irony of Steve Rosenblum not being here is getting intenser throughout the show, I must say. But that said, I'm done with the Bulls for today. As a matter of fact, next, let's go out to Wrigley Field, where the vibes are good. Cubs and Marlins with a doubleheader. Andy Martinez of the Marquee Sports Network is standing by. We'll get a scene setter, and we'll talk Cubs next. And I apologize, Tyler Farengol, for being so late. This is not your fault on the score.